Shalom.
Okay, girls, let's look together in Rav Kook. By the way, the first part of these sources we learned previously, if you remember, we spoke about Yirat Hashem. But I gave out the sheets again anyway. Let's look together in source number 16.
Second. Okay.
Source number 16. What we're going to do today is going to summarize, according to Rav Kook, all of Kabbalah in one class. As a matter of fact, in one sentence. Gabi, I'm so happy you joined us. You will have a very important lesson today. Source 16. Milamedet ilanu ha-chokhma ha-elokit. The godly wisdom, that's a code name for Kabbalah, the Zohar. It teaches us the midot, the godly character traits. You all know that there are 13 godly character traits, right? Rachum, Chanun, Erech Hapayim, Rav Chesed. Et ha-sfirot ha-elohiyot. Kabbalah adds another 10 sfirot. I think we mentioned them once. Sound familiar? The Eser Sfirot? Has anybody heard of that? If you learned in a Chabad school, Keser, Chochma, Bina, Gedul, Gevul, Vativeves, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Right? Without getting into the detail, there are 10 traits in Kabbalah of God. But Rav Kook is asking, who cares? Why is it so important to talk about these traits? And he answers, here comes the bombshell. We are in source 16. Okay? Kedei ladat shebemidotam shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu anu tzrichim lidabek. This is to teach us to know how to emulate God. Remember we spoke a couple times about imitatio Dei, imitating God? That's the concept also of tzelem Elokim. That we are created in the image of God. Litzalem is to copy, to photocopy. And it comes from the word tzel. What is tzel? Shade or shadow. Right? We are meant to shadow God, whereas we are not God, but we can and should copy God. And again, this is what's called imitatio Dei. Now, what we're going to learn today, hopefully, is going to bring all of your Avodat Hashem, all of your Torah and Mitzvot, to a higher level. I'm just saving time, but I'll continue talking. We are going to answer today several very, very important questions. Number one, how do I get closer to Hashem? Right? Shana Bet, before you leave us, you definitely like to know how to get closer to Hashem, right? Question number two, why do we do mitzvot? And it's all in this sentence that we just learned in Rav Kook. Okay, take down the questions. Again, number one, how do we get closer to Hashem? Number two, why do we do mitzvot? Number three, what is the goal of Torah? And what is the goal of life? Question number four, why did God create two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? And question number, what are we up to? Five? How to get first-class pleasure? Right? Everybody wants pleasure. And like with everything, there is third class, second class, first class. Okay? Now, it all gets back to imitatio Dei, which again is why the Torah describes to us who God is and what are His actions. We're going to explain this. We'll start out with a very basic question. How to get closer to Hashem? There are three approaches. The first approach of how to get close to Hashem is through emotion. When a person sings, when a person dances, when a person davens, it's more of an emotional rather than an intellectual connection with God. A lot of times you go out to nature and you see a nice sunset, right? And then you can daven mincha with more kavana. That is an emotional. In the Beit HaMikdash, when you would see the gold and the silver and the korbanot and you would smell and you'd hear the levi'im, that was a great emotional experience. What's the problem with connecting to God emotionally? You can also connect to God emotionally through Avodah Zarah. Chazal tells us in the Masechet Sanhedrin that why did the Jews in the time of Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Melachim, right? We're told that a lot of Jews did Avodah Zarah. And Chazal tell us they didn't believe that this God or this gold or this silver, that that's really God. But Lo avdu Yisrael avodah zarah ela lahatir la'atzmam et ha'arayot. They wanted to have a good time. And in the mikdashim, they would have, orgies, and they would get drunk. There's a lot of good meat and wine and women, and everyone would have a good time. Girls, that is also an emotional experience. A person can go to the discotheque and also have an emotional experience. A person could go into a church and also have an emotional experience. And that's the problem with emotional experiences. You could very easily mistake emotional experience for the real thing with the not real thing. Right? Emotion is relatively primitive. And that's a problem, right? As we've said many times, one last time for the girls from Shanabet, the arrow of evolution, that the world is based on evolution, and that mankind, when we were primitive, everything was based on emotion. And the problem, another problem with emotion is that it's not constant. Sometimes you have ups and sometimes you're downs, and it depends on your biorhythms, and it depends on your hormones, and it depends if somebody offended you, and if it depends what your boyfriend said to you, right? We all know that emotions are not constant. And if I want to be close to Hashem, I want to do it on a regular way. I don't want to have to be dependent on other factors, right? So you'll see the advantages of emotion. It's real, right? You really get into it. It's warm, it's living, it's convincing. The problem is, like we said, that it's not constant and it could easily be mistaken for the wrong emotions or the wrong religion. So there's a second way of getting closer to Hashem, and that is through the intellect. Now here in the Midrasha, there are shiurim. Most of the shiurim hopefully connect you to God through the intellect, where you see the beauty of the Torah, you see the truth of God, the truth of Torah. I give a year-long class if anybody's interested in questions in Emunah. You're invited to join. And you learn Moreh Nevuchim, you learn the Rambam, the Guide for the Perplexed. You come out of a Shiur Hashkafa, right? Sometimes you really feel inspired. That is the intellectual connection to God. Okay? Now here also, there are advantages and disadvantages. The advantage, as opposed to emotion, intellect is constant, right? If something is true today, it was true probably 3,000 years ago. It's going to be true 3,000 years from now. That's eternal. And that whenever I want to open up a book, or today, through a couple of clicks, I can get onto a good intellectual shiur, even at 2 in the morning, in any language you want. And so it's more accessible than emotion, right? You'll see the problem. With emotion, it's not so accessible. It doesn't really depend on you, right? You got to have that experience. You need the Karl Bach and his guitar or whatever it is that turns you on. Emotion is more constant, so that's an advantage. What's the disadvantage of the intellect? The intellectual connection with God is, did I say before, intellect or emotion? Right, that's the advantage of the intellect, that it's more accessible. The disadvantage of the intellect is that it is cold. It's cold. You know, it doesn't ignite you like the emotion. You know, if Shlomo Carlbach has a song, Lord, get me high. So you can get high on marijuana, You can get high on davening. You can get high through singing. So that's the emotional. And that you really get into it. Intellect, you know, yeah, say, yeah, that makes sense. But it doesn't really change you on the spot. Okay, so that's the disadvantage of the intellect. In Judaism, and that's what Rav Kook is talking about here today, we have a third topic. A third way of getting close to God. This is totally Jewish. The Goyim don't have such a concept. And I'll explain it through something that happened to me once. One of the problems when you want to sell a car is, on the one hand, you don't want to sell it too often because it's a real pain in the neck. You have to find a seller, you have to convince him, you have to argue about the price, and then you have to buy a new car, right? It's a pain in the neck. So I usually drive our car until it's not worth anything. And then I look for somebody to pay me, whatever it is. Anyway, I had this car, and I looked up their ways of figuring out how much it's worth, the year, the make, the... And it turns out it says 10,000 Cheko. So I advertise, I want 10,000 Cheko for the car. Nobody is willing to pay me 10,000. Everyone was talking about 5, 6. I'm not interested. And I was wasting a lot of time. And finally, an Arab, I put up a sign in the window. And an Arab who has a garage, he calls me up and he says, listen, you wrote 10,000. I work with cars. You ain't going to get more than 7,000. And you know it. And he was right. I wasn't getting even... one guy wanted 6. I think somebody was willing to give me 6. Bekitsur, I said, okay, let's go. We'll meet tomorrow at the post office. There's a bank, tofes, a bank form that you fill out. But I said, listen, I said to the Arab, I don't know you. I don't know if you give me a check, it might bounce, you know. I want you to please pay me in cash. So he says, okay. So he brings 7,000 check on cash. I meet him by the bank. I'm really in a good mood. And then I think, you know, Israeli money, it's colorful, and it's relatively easy to counterfeit Israeli money. America, they're really very careful. They have these silver threads inside the bills. It's very hard to counterfeit American money. Israeli money is supposedly easy to counterfeit. So this guy's giving me 7,000 shekel. So I asked the bank teller, I said, can you do me a favor? You work with money. Can you take a look at these bills and just make sure that they're not counterfeit? He said, sure. Takes a couple. No, it's fine. So I'm in a real good mood. Going to get rid of my old car. And then the bank teller says, wait, you have to pay 70 shekel ha'avarat ba'alut to transfer the ownership. So I turned to the Arab, 70 shekel. I said, let's go 50-50. You pay 35, I'll pay 35. He says to me, in li bruta. I don't have a penny. So I said, okay, I'll pay the whole 70 shekel. I take out a 50 and 2 coins of 10, and I give it to the woman at the bank counter. And then she takes one of the 10 shekel coins and says, you thought his money was counterfeit? You just gave me a 10 shekel counterfeit coin. And she threw it back at me. So obviously I didn't mint it. You know, somebody gave it to me as change somewhere along the line. But I said to her, I looked at it and I said, it looks real to me. How do you know it's counterfeit? So there were two 10 shekel coins. And she says, compare them.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. All day, every day. I'm really serious about this.
Teachers too?
Not teachers.
So I look at the two shekel coins, and I see small differences. And she says, it's close, but it's not the real thing. What does it mean to come close to a God who is no body? If this were God, and I want to come close to this, like an idolatry, I will come closer, 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 until I can hug and kiss the idol, right? That's how you come close to an idol. In monotheism, where God doesn't have a body, we cannot come physically close to him, but in the story that I told you, What did she mean, the bank teller, when she said it's close but not the real thing? What does close mean in that context? Similar. Similar. And this is the Chiddush of Judaism. Judaism says if you want to become close to God, be like God. Act like God. God gave us a Tzelem Elokim that we can copy God, we can tzel, shadow God, and this is what we've been talking about all year. Imitatio Dei, to be like God. And now I understand Rav Kook. When Rav Kook tells us in source number 16 that the idea of the Sfirot, and not only that, the Midot, the character traits, and also let's go on in Pisgah Bet, source 16, Pisgah Bet. Im einanu makirim shekol ikara tzorach letamudam shel hashemot. Why do we learn the names of God? Girls, what are the names of God? When He is Rachum, merciful, that's what we have to do. He is Chanun, that's what we have to do. Girls, from now on, when you open up a Sidur, and you see Psukei Dezimra, God is great, God is good, God loves the orphan, He loves the widow, He helps the underdog, God is this, God does that, He's so mechnoflim, rofei cholim, matir asurim. Does anybody catch why we say that now? Hare, we've said in the past, God doesn't need our praise. God is perfect. He doesn't need my praise. It's like me telling Einstein, Albert, you're smart. He's going to say, who are you? I don't need you to tell me that I'm smart. He's Einstein. Hashem does not need to praise us. Why do we say that God is somech noflim rofei cholim matir asurim? Eden, you catch it? So that if I see one of the girls here who looks depressed, I have to go and talk with her. And say, you want to talk about it? Why? Because God is somech noflim. God picks up those who are down, and I want to be godly, I have to pick up those who are down. What does it mean, rofei cholim? Girls, not every Jew has to be a doctor. Maybe every Jewish mother would like her child to be a doctor. But you don't have to be a doctor, but in my opinion, any Jew who has not done some kind of CPR emergency course, you know they have these one-day courses to learn. Anybody know the Heimlich hold? Yeah, you know the Heimlich hold? If you see somebody choking, chas v'shalom, and you grab them around the waist, and you go one fist above the navel, and then you do an up thrust, you can save his life. Girls, we have an obligation to know first aid because our role is to be godly. And the way to copy God is to be somech noflim, rofei cholim, matir asurim. You all see? Chevra, when you read the Sidur again, it is to talk to God, but it's also so that I can define who is God that I can emulate. Because only after I know who He is can I emulate. Now I understand. Chevra, jump for a second to Sefer Shmot. Sefer Shmot. You know what? Let's go back a step. Source number 4. It says in Divrei Hayamim, in the Book of Chronicles, there's a lot of things there that is not found in Sefer Melachim, that David is telling Shlomo, when Shlomo is about to take over the kingdom, Ve'ata Shlomo b'ni, da et Elohei avicha ve'avdehu b'lev shalem uvenefesh chafetza. Know the God of your father so that you can serve Him wholeheartedly. Girls, I forgot to mention another question. You can add this at the beginning of the questions of the class. How do we strengthen our motivation to do mitzvot? You okay? Looks like something is bothering you.
No, I'm totally fine. Yeah.
Okay. Chevra, how do we strengthen our motivation in mitzvot? Here David HaMelech is telling Shlomo, know the God of your father, and then you will serve him wholeheartedly. What does it mean to know God? How can we know God? All right, it says in Sefer Ha'ikarim, right afterwards in source number 5, Rav Yosef Albo writes 600 years ago, Ilu yida'ativ hayitiv. If I would know God, I would be God. So you can't know God. Klomar ein chai, no living person, sheyasig atzmuto elahu yidbarach. Only God can understand God. If I would understand God, I would be God. If so, Chavra, I'm going to erase this now. Can I erase it? How do we solve this problem? Don't erase this last column, because we have here on the one hand, David HaMelech is telling us, understand God. By the way, what does it mean to know? Da et Elokei Avicha. Da et Elokei Avicha. Does anybody remember the pasuk? V'adam yada et Chava ishto v'atar v'telet ben. And Adam knew Eve, and she got pregnant and had a son. What does it mean, Adam knew Eve? He loved her. And she got pregnant and had a son. In other words, to know, to understand, or to know, is to love. On the other hand, we see in Sefer Ha'ikarim that we can't know God. We can't understand God. Everybody see the contradiction? What's the answer? Chevra, the Sefer Ha'ikarim is very exact. Let us read it again. Again, source 5. Ilu yidativ hayitiv. If I were to know God, I would be God. Klomar ki ein chai. No human being. Sheyasig atzmuto. Can understand God's essence, but God. Chevra, this is the punchline. When we say that we cannot understand God, we are talking about His essence. The essence of God, let's call this Mr. Yud, K, Vav, K, right? He is in the heavens. He is above, beyond. This is the God that we cannot understand. But there is another aspect of God, and that's what Rav Kook is saying. There is the aspect of Hashem's actions. His actions are things that we can understand. And not only can we understand, we can emulate. And we can be similar. And to be similar is to be close. Is everyone with me? Trevor, do you see the differentiation? There are two aspects of God. There is His actions and His essence. Now, how does it work? The essence of God, says Rav Kook, is sort of childish. Rav Kook writes in Source 17, second paragraph, Omnam kol zman shamusag shel avodat Elohim omed betor avoda mityacheset le'etzem. When we try and connect with Mr. God Himself, it is like, Trevor, you see these keys? If you want to become the best friend of a 3-year-old child, give him keys. They love feeling keys. They like the noise, right? It does a lot of things, right? It feels nice. It makes music, right? Girls, that is the way a child deals with keys, with the object. An adult knows that this can move a car from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. That this can get my mail, open up my mailbox. That this, oh, the other one, I forgot what this one is. This opens Beit HaRav Kook, the archives of the writings of Rav Kook. Girls, a child doesn't know that. A child deals with the object and not with its actions. Do you all see that? A more immature way that immature people deal with God is to deal with Mr. God in heaven. And that is the essence of God who we really can't understand. And that's a problem, because we want to understand God. And therefore, what Rav Kook is telling us is to go for the more mature way, and that is to, what does God do? Again, just like, what does this key do? That is a higher level of intelligence. That is a higher level of connecting to God. And girls, if you think about it, it's the greatest gift that God could have and did give. Remember, we spoke about once why God created the world. Big question, but we did this already. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we did it. Why did Hashem create the world? Hari, any answer that you suggest infers that God lacks something. God is perfect. He doesn't need anything. So why did he create the world? What was he lacking? Anybody remember the answer? The Zohar, and afterwards the Ramchal, tell us that Hashem created the world out of altruism. Shana Bet, remember we spoke about altruism? What is altruism? It's a good SAT word. In Hebrew, it is chesed shel emet. What is chesed shel emet? We just read about it in the Torah. To do a tara on a dead person. When you clean a dead person, he's not going to say thank you. He's not going to pay you back the favor. This is what's called selfless giving. And this is the highest level of chesed. Chesed shel emet. And this is what's called Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Pasuk in Tehillim. God created the world for Chesed. Joel Cash? Girls, you could add that to the questions at the beginning of this class. Why did God create the world? Here. This is the greatest hits of Jewish philosophy. A lot of questions. Why did God create the world? Altruism. To give. Which is the only answer, because it explains why God wanted to create, even though he wasn't lacking anything. Because when you give selflessly, you are giving without having lacked anything. Okay? Chever, let's go on. If God created the world in order to give selflessly, when God wants to give, he gives the perfect gift. Because God can give anything. Lahavdil, when Bill Gates goes to a wedding, he doesn't just give a challah knife. Bill Gates gives a really big, tens of thousands of dollars gift. Now, God has even more than Bill Gates. So if God wants to give, he's going to give the perfect gift. Chevra, what is the perfect gift? Is there anything in the world which is perfect? Is there anything in the world which is perfect? God. God himself is the only thing which is perfect. Let us go on. So, Chevra? Again, why did God create the world? He wants to give. What does he give? The perfect gift. What is the perfect gift himself? Final question. How does God give himself to us? He thought of a brilliant idea called the Neshama. When God gave us a soul, he gave us Tzelem Elokim, the ability to copy him. Imitatio Dei, to copy him. Chevra, if somebody would come to you and say, hey then, I'm going to make you a millionaire. It's a good gift. If someone were to come to you and ask you, Aiden, I can make you Mashiach. That's an even better gift. If somebody comes to you and says, Aiden, I am going to make you like God. Do you see how that's the greatest gift? Chevra, the greatest gift is to be able to emulate God. Now, why is this so important? Chevra, one day after shul, Shabbat afternoon, a guy comes up to me and he says, maybe you can help us. We had a discussion at the last night at the Shabbos table. We were debating, do we do mitzvot to get into Olam Haba? Or do we do mitzvot to get Mashiach? Or do we do mitzvot to do Tchiyat HaMetim? Why do we do mitzvot? Girls, I answered him, D, none of the above. It's true, mitzvot will bring us A, B, and C, but the most important reason why do we do mitzvot? Chevra? Suggestions based on what we said? To be godly. Exactly. Chevra, we do mitzvot to be godly. After Hashem created the world, we mentioned this once, the very first thing that He commanded Adam v'Chava is pru urvu. Have children. In other words, God says, I created the world. You should also create worlds. Having children is creating worlds. Did you see that? And then Hashem told Adam and Chava, you know what God does on Shabbat? He rests. And therefore, what should we do on Shabbat? We should rest. However, this is connected to the very basic question, who am I? Who am I? However, if I am my body, and a lot of times people, when they say I, they point to their body. If I am my body and I lose my hair, does that mean I'm less me? Obviously not. If I am my body and I gain weight, does that mean I am more me? Right? Or if my brother, donated a kidney to my father, does that mean that my father is my brother and my brother is my father? Obviously not. Because we are not our bodies. The real me is my soul. And if the real me is my soul, and we just learned what is a soul, it is my godly spark. That means that the real me is my godliness. And again, Chevra, if you want to meet God, we once mentioned this from Nachum Breslov, says, you want to meet God? Go out to the forest. Why will I find God in the forest? Anybody remember? What is there in the forest that will help me find God? No distractions. There is no internet. There is no money. There is no work. There is... When I go out to the forest, I am there with me, myself, and I. I am there with my spark of God. And if I want to get in touch with God, the best way of doing it is by getting in touch with myself. And how do we get in touch with myself? By following the mitzvot. Hashem says, gives us guidelines. This is how to be godly. That's what the Torah is about. Chevra, Jonathan Pollard just got out of jail, right? Not out of jail, he came to Israel. You all remember who Jonathan Pollard is? When I was the head of a midrashah, we once canceled a class, and I asked all the girls to write a letter to the president and to their congressman asking to free Jonathan Pollard. Why? Because God took us out of Egypt. What's the connection? Anybody see the connection? Why do we mention every Shabbat Hashem took us out of Egypt? Every morning Hashem took us out of Egypt. Every Pesach Hashem took us out of Egypt. Get Chevra? How can I be godly and take other Jews out of Egypt, out of bondage? By writing to the president to get them out of jail. Chevra, somebody once asked me, yeshiva boy, he had learned 2 years in yeshiva, and he did his physical for the army and deferred it. When he got an answer from the army invited him to Sayeret Matkal. That is the highest commando unit. Those are the guys who go to Entebbe. Those are the guys who are planning to free Gilad Shalit or Nachshon Waxman. And he says, on the one hand, I love learning. I would like to learn more in yeshiva. On the other hand, I would also love to be in this commando unit. And if I defer it, they might not accept me a year later. I said to him, no, Baruch Hashem, you have to choose between two great mitzvot. It's your choice. He says, what would you do? I said to him, I personally, after I learn Rav Kook, and after I learned that the whole idea of Kabbalah and the whole idea of Torah is to be like God, and we have been repeating this mantra, God took us out of Egypt, God took us out of Egypt, God took us out of Egypt. If I were offered the opportunity to join the commando unit that frees Jewish hostages, that's the goal of the Torah. Girls, Judaism is different than other religions. Do you remember Avram Avinu? All right, we don't have time to see this. Maybe we'll just answer one last question that we didn't answer. Chevra, let's go through the questions. How can I get closer to Hashem? Again, the Jewish approach, also emotional, also intellectual, but also to be like Hashem. We ask, why do we do mitzvot? To get into heaven? Right? It does get us into heaven. It does bring Mashiach. But why do we do mitzvot, Na'ama? To be godly. Chevra, don't just be religious. Be godly. It's a totally different story. We ask, what's the goal of Torah? What is the goal of life? What is the ultimate pleasure? Chevra, the ultimate pleasure is to be godly. Again, that's greater than being a millionaire. It's greater than being Mashiach, to be godly. Why did God create two worlds? This we didn't answer yet. In a minute. In other words, we only have a minute. The Vilna Gaon, on his deathbed, he was crying. And his students asked him, why are you crying? Harry, you're going straight to heaven. The Vilna Gaon said, I'm crying because even if I go to heaven, there is going to be one pleasure that I'm going to miss. And that you can only have in this world. That is the pleasure of taking a shekel, buying a candy for a child, and make his day. Why? Girls, there are two types of pleasure which contradict. One pleasure is to be with God. That's heaven. In heaven, we are with God. We don't have to sleep. We don't have to eat. We don't have to do anything. We just sit back and enjoy God. But there's one problem. In a world where God is so apparent, so obvious, we don't have free will. Do you see that? There's God, you just do it. Say it's a shiur. And God asked me a question. He says, Ari, what's your opinion? I will say, God, I don't care. Who cares what my opinion is? Let's hear it from you. Do you all see that? We don't have free will in the world to come because God is so apparent. That's why he created this world. The word olam is from the Shoresh, Eden. What is leha'alim? To hide. We need you in this class. Chevra, God created this world to hide himself, to enable us, free will, to enable us to be godly. Do you all see that? Because in the world to come where he is there, we can't be godly. We just want to enjoy. God, you do everything. But God had to create this world, which is a world that we have the second type of pleasure, that we can be godly. And that's why from the very start, Hashem breathed into man the Spirit of God. Tzelem Elokim. To summarize, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, God, show me your ways so that I can be like you, that is when Hashem said, Birachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim, the 13 traits of God, that is the context. What is the context? Moshe wants to know, how can I emulate you? How can I achieve my potential? How can I be godly? How can I fulfill the goal of the world? Chevra, what we did today is super, super important. And that's why I wanted to do it before Shana Bet leaves us.